You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Don't just watch the Draft Dog Pound. Join me in a Play the Draft contest with the Cleveland Browns. Play the Draft is a free, easy-to-play fantasy game for the NFL Draft. Find undervalued draft prospects for your chance to win VIP experiences, tickets, gear, and more from the Browns. Sign up right now. It's a lot of fun at ClevelandBrowns.com. Ray Farmer addressed the media earlier today. Here's part one of his press conference.
I guess I'd start by saying I appreciate everybody coming out. It's draft time, which seems like the next most exciting time in comparison to the season. We've contended all along that we want to build through the draft here, and the draft's important. It's important for us. It's important to make the right decisions, get the right guys. Strategically, I would tell you that, you know, you plan for scenario A to happen, and inevitably that could happen, or there are contingency plans as well to move on. In that, you think about best player available. You think about what needs you may think you may have to address. But need shouldn't outweigh taking the best players for your roster today and tomorrow. The things I think are hot buttons in the league now, characters are actually obviously one of them. Guys have existing issues, understanding what they are, understanding your risk and your tolerance for risk and when you take risks. Those are all out there. I think we really focus on the idea of continuing to play like a Brown and add guys to that. I think last year was interesting for us. Pitt's first year, my first year, new coaching staff. I think that blend has been a lot smoother this year for how we kind of come about and get together and get everybody organized so that we can make the right decisions for our ball club and how those guys fit. End of the day, we really feel good. There's 10 picks. We got two in the first round. We got three of the top 43. We got four of the top 77. You know, we're excited about kind of where we're at and what's happening. I guess I should take a moment and really thank the scouts. Those are the guys that I don't even know if a lot of you guys even know who a lot of our scouts are to pick them out of if they were just walking through the building. But a lot of tireless effort, singularly focused on improving the football team. And I know a lot of times it may seem like those guys are forgotten warriors, but they're not. They're a vital part of the process, and they help us get to where we're going. Also want to thank our coaching staff. Did a tremendous job this year as well of working both with us. I guess I can get into that for a second. Took some liberties this year to kind of change how we did some things during the offseason, blending and blurring the line between the scouts and the coaches, having those guys work together on some projects to flesh out some of the conversations early on, which I thought was a good part of that. Our group and how we kind of come to these answers is really collaborative. And so at the end of the day, I know myself, Morocco Brown, Bill Koharik, Mike Pettine have spent a lot of time the last several weeks kind of locked behind doors, putting the finishing touches on kind of where we think we are in the draft and who we like and, again, what that plan and then what that contingency plan would look like moving forward. So I think I might have taken enough of the time just kind of catching you guys up as to how we got to where we're at. So if there's any questions, I'm open.
Hey, Ray, because you were so aggressive last year in the first round, do you expect your phone to be ringing more than it may normally?
I think the big thing for us now is the fact that we have picks. And then they're not compensatory picks, they're just regular picks, so we can move any of them. I think that's what spurns people to call you is the flexibility that you may have in the draft because of the number of picks that you possess.
Would you expect to be as active on your end as far as making trades?
For me, it's more about looking at not being aggressive for the sake of being aggressive or moving for the sake of moving, but trying to create the opportunities that you can create value and you can capitalize on that value.
Does what you went through with Josh Gordon affect the way you look at Randy Gregory?
I think they're two independent guys, and they're completely different in a lot of ways. I would say that to kind of answer the question differently, I would say for us it's more about you take advantage of the information that you have on any player, and then you associate that with how you think that guy fits into your building and your culture.
Based on your scouting on Marcus Mariota, how well do you think he can translate from the offensive play into the NFL?
I think it's probably a better question for Pett and the coaching staff. I would say from our scouting side, there are things to like about the young man, and those things that you like are the reason that I think he's being talked about where he's being talked about in the draft.
Brett, what's left in the room, what's this next week going to be like? What do you guys still have to go over?
There's really not a lot left in the room right now. It's almost nauseam at the moment of, let's go over again. Okay, what are we going to do here? Okay, what if this happens? What if that happens? And you play the what-if scenario, it seems like 10 million times, and it seems like we've played so many times that you feel like you know kind of where things are going to go. But I hate to say it, it's almost like going to the batting cage, and you feel like you get in a rhythm and you know where it's at. And then there's this curveball. There's the one ball that dies on you, swing and miss like you haven't been in there all day. So I think that's what the draft's become in my mind. There's always going to be that one selection, that one move that nobody truly anticipated, and that's what you got to be able to adjust to.
Week out, would you have known that you were going to make the move with Buffalo?
No, I would not have known a week out. That brings up a good point, which is interesting. You hear all the information. I can tell you right now, nobody's saying anything that's substantial at the moment. They're just not. So all the reports, all of the conjecture, all of the this is happening and that's happening, it's a pretty fluid process. And people say, when you make calls and you talk to other teams, hey, we're willing to go up or we're willing to go down. That does me no good. That doesn't help. But, you know, it's the reality. I'd go up if it was the right circumstance, and I'd go back if it was the right circumstance. Those things happen literally much closer to the draft, and a lot of times when you're on the clock, you got to make that in-the-moment decision of, do I want to do this, do I not want to do this? And that's where all the contingency planning and the preparation comes into play.
So do you have a feel for what it might take to move up to get a guy like Mariota?
I mean, ironically, you can always look at those charts that are out there. I know they're all over the internet. I know we have our own. There's several versions of it. Teams have their own versions, and you try to piece that together. The reality is that this is interesting, but a lot of the scuttlebutt that you hear and the conjecture and the noise that's out there, it changes the complexion of trying to get a deal done. So if everybody thinks you want something, your price just went up. So if you're the guy that's dying in the desert for thirst, and you need a cup of water, your cup of water costs $10,000. Meanwhile, we just gave one to Mary Kay for $1.50. So it's different. Like, and I think that's where it gets interesting, is that you hear it, you see it, but then there's no reality until somebody truly makes an offer or makes a push to get something done.
For some reason you've been attached to Mariota as the guy you liked a year ago. Talk in general what you see in him as an NFL quarterback and what distinguishes him from a later round quarterback?
I think the thing that distinguishes him is that the guy's been successful. You know, you look at the differences of what guys do and accomplish and how they play, and a lot of it comes down to what was your performance? What did your performance yield? So it's easy to see why, you know, whether it's Marcus, whether it's another player, they get the benefit of the doubt because their teams have had success with them at the helm. So that's where it starts. There's a lot more, I'd say, nuances and intricacies that we can talk about as far as how he delivers the ball. What his footwork's like? What is his accuracy like? What's his decision-making like? Can he progression read? Can he take a 3, 5, 7-step drop with a hitch, make a throw in rhythm? All of those things kind of come into play, and they're technical, and they get past all of the generalities that I think people look at. But it really comes down to how well did the guy play his position in college, and how well do you think your staff and your coaching staff can utilize his skill set to help you win?
Hey, part of this is a hypothetical, but let's just say Mariota was a guy you were interested in. Do you take into effect, though, the potential ripple effect of taking a player? For instance, if you take Mariota, there's got to be an odd man out at that position, most likely, you know, Johnny, who you took a year ago. Is that something that enters your mind when you're going through that process of potentially making such an important decision like that?
Every decision comes at a consequence to somebody else. We've brought a lot of guys in on 30 visits. We've talked to a lot of guys at the combine and in different circumstances. The thought process for us, and I've told several young men this, is that the National Football League is different than college football. Like you come into an organization and you make friends and you have friends, but at the end of the day, you're here to take that guy in front of his job. That's what it comes down to. And so it's a different it's a different way of looking at it. But the reality is for us, we make the decisions that we think we need to make to improve our football team. And driving competition is a part of that. So I do want player A to compete with player B and player B to compete with player C. And, you know, C may end up being A by the end of the day. And nobody expected it. Nobody anticipated it. But the idea is to drive the competition on our roster. And inevitably it's going to come at the demise of somebody. Now, who that person is, I don't know if anybody could say. But you know, we definitely like the idea of just driving the competition and making the team better.
Would you seriously consider trading 12 and 19 and moving up to get Mariota if that's what it took?
Sure, why not?
And also, as a follow-up to that, you guys, as far as I can tell, did not do a separate private workout with Marcus, and I'm just wondering, why didn't you do that? Is it because maybe Kevin O'Connell spent so much time with them, and what were your thoughts on it?
At the end of the day, in certain instances, you take advantage of the opportunities that you have. For us, when you think you have enough information on a player, there's no reason to continue to move forward. When you've kind of finalized and you kind of know where you're at, you put the period on it and you end the story. For us, when you have a good feel for a player, that's what it comes down to. We think we know who he is. We think we know what he's capable of. We think you know kind of where he would fit for us, assuming that he was with us. So no reason to take that any further than we went.
Given that you signed Harold Line and Bo, where are you in terms of looking at receivers in the draft? Does that impact it in any way?
Doesn't impact it one iota. Every position on our roster, if I had to play today, I feel good about if we went out and played. End of the day, I think it comes down to, again, take the best player available, move forward, improve your football team, and see if you can't get better with the guys that you bring into the building.
With the guys you got right now for receivers, how do you feel about
them? Very good. They fit who we want to be and what we're going to do.
With the changes you've made on your scouting staff and all that, do you feel that you've done a better job of background checks this year than last year? And were you inefficient on the background checks last year, especially with Johnny and Gilbert?
Nope, not one iota do I feel like we missed it or we didn't do it. At the end of the day, you take. There's a balance between what you know and then what you can expect and then what you think you can change. End of the day, I do appreciate our staff. I think our staff does a really good job. We've taken extra steps in trying to challenge kind of what others could dig up and what they could figure out and what they would know and what they could kind of utilize to garnish a better idea of who a player is. The reality is I think we do a really, really good job of unearthing the information that's out there. End of the day, you got to believe kind of what people tell you about kids. I don't get the luxury or no team gets the luxury of living in whatever city for 4 years and understanding who that young man is. So you're at the mercy of what people tell you. And the information that we got was consistent around the league as far as I've been told. I've talked to probably half a dozen teams more here recently just to make sure that you kind of quality controlled that. And at the end of the day, the character background stuff is what it is. You just got to determine, if you assume that that's risk, how much risk you're willing to take.
Ray, when you look at your defense, obviously there's no such thing as a finished product, but what would you say is the missing piece on that side of the football right now when you evaluate that going into the draft?
For our defense?
Yes, your defense.
I like where I'm at. And like I said, if I had to go play today, I'd go play today. There's always unknowns. There's always pieces that you want to continue to drive competition at. I think for us, how we play ball, the league in general, in my mind, is getting more specialized. So that specialization has allowed a variety of players to play on any particular defense. And so I'd say it in this regard. D linemen, in a lot of cases, they rotate. Like, there's very few guys that are going to just play, you know, 95% of snaps as a defensive lineman. They're going to be a rotation or a wave of players. Same thing at linebacker. Very, you know, the Mikes, you know, used to have a old school Mike linebacker that was a downhill thumper. Those guys are so versatile now that they're trying to keep guys on the field and rotate them and use them in different ways. Same in the secondary. You see a lot of safety slide down and play nickel linebacker. You see a lot of corners slide in and play nickel, et cetera, et cetera. Some corners may even slide back and play nickel safety. So I think the player utilization and the wave prospects and the differences that allow guys to slide around, it helps us overall. So I feel comfortable where we're at.
Do you need more defensive linemen then? In other words, just you talk about specialization, the way they play now requires more defensive linemen?
I think it requires a variety of defensive linemen. Not necessarily more, because now you get trapped by roster numbers. So you can't really go out and say, well, let's just have 10 or 12 defensive linemen. You got to keep it in the context that you have. But again, it's kind of like I explained before about wide receivers and different positions. You may want two big guys. I need two quick guys. I need two guys that can play, you know, a variety of roles. I need two long guys. I'm okay with two short guys. It's just kind of that mix and match of skill sets and abilities that I think can make you more dynamic than just trying to say I have this one player or this two these two players.
When you have four quarterbacks on the roster, do you need more competition at that position?
If I can get it, if I can find somebody I think that pushes the competition further, then I think that's what you focus on. It's not about what you currently have. It's about what can you add.
Part one of Ray Farmer's presser with the media in the books there. Part two will come a little bit later in our show. But when we return, we know you're on the phones. 216-578-0850. What do you think about what Ray Farmer has had to say so far? Driving competition. It's what he wants to do. He's excited about the process. Let us know your thoughts. 216-578-0850. Zagur and Wilhelm. Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. When the rest of me is down.